Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
In honor of Pentecost, which was a couple of weeks ago in the church calendar, we have spent a few weeks talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we leaned in last week to the mystery of the fact that our one true God is a triune God, a Trinity, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person of God. And where the Spirit of the Old Testament, we looked at how that Holy Spirit would sometimes rest on a person for a specific purpose, to be God's energizing presence in and through that person for a specific period of time, and to do a particular thing, a task, so to speak, that was upon that person, and the Holy Spirit would empower them for that. Typically, we saw that those tasks were about drawing people, plural, the people of God, closer to God's presence. And we see the Spirit fostering relationship between God and humans. And on the day of Pentecost, the promises that Jesus had shared to his followers all come true. So as a reminder, I'm going to grab a couple passages. Towards the end of John's gospel, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Shortly after this, as recorded in the beginning of the book of Acts, we read, "On one occasion while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And just like we've seen all through the Old Testament, where the presence of God was showing up through fire, marked by fire, right? The burning bush with Moses that didn't burn up, the fire on top of Mount Sinai when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, the dedication of Solomon's temple, fire descended on the holiest of holies, right? We see this fire. And then we see in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, that very presence of God now, that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So now the Holy Spirit of God rests on each and every one of them and is uniting them with God and building them together in fellowship. So we talked a bit last week about this transformative work that the Spirit does in the life of each believer, growing them more and more, us more and more, into Christ-likeness, looking like Christ in how we live and how we act, enabling us to love God and love others in new and deeper, tangible ways, to mirror the love of God to God and to one another, right? We see how the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives that resembles the way of Jesus, right? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all of that. And it's not just about the individual maturing. We talked about this last week as well, right? The transformation that's happening in the individuals when the Holy Spirit has come upon them impacts not only the individual, but their engagement with others. Those character traits we read, that's about how you are engaging with other people, being gentle and patient and all of that, right? So this is, impacting through the Holy Spirit how people experience the very presence of God in and through the followers of Jesus now. They're able to experience glimpses of God's character through the life of the believer when they're following the way of Jesus. I have an admission. I said this quote last week, but I misquoted the source. I corrected it this time. We talked about this. The Spirit must have a body on which the Spirit can rest, and that body turns out to be called the church. That's the body on whom the Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to rest. And we see that living out in the book of Acts. The community of believers are living out their faith, and we read that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see that the Holy Spirit shaping their lives, drawing them together in faith with God and with one another. They're living this out. And you guys, the world is taking notice that something different is happening. People are drawn into this life of faith in Jesus. So we see this formation happening in their lives and in our lives through the Spirit. That's what we really spent time on last week. And today, we want to look more into how the Spirit works among them now in their lives together as communities, okay? And so what we're going to talk about today is what we commonly call spiritual gifts. Now, I have this chart. Don't worry, you don't have to read all of it, but you're going to get the idea of it in a second. It's going to be up a lot this morning. What we have here is I've consolidated lists of gifts that appear in different parts of the New Testament to teach us. But before we get deep into this, and don't worry, it'll be on and off the screen for the rest of the morning. But here's the thing that I have to say. First of all, this is the part where one of my insecurity voice starts to pester me all through the course of this week. She has different things that she commonly says to me. I know her voice. She still is there and she's a pest. But one of the things she says to me and the things that she said this week is, there's nothing new here. You have nothing new to say. There is absolutely, anyone who's been around has heard you talk like this. Some of them have seen this chart before. Like, it's your chart and they know it. Like, come on, Melissa, there's nothing new that you can say. And after I wrestled with her for a little bit about this, because we had a little wrestle about it, after I wrestled a bit, here's where I landed. And I just want to be upfront with you guys about this, okay? In case, for some of you, this feels a bit familiar. Feels familiar to me, but it's still good stuff. So here's where I landed. Number one, yeah, it's not new. It's ancient. It's holy. It's truth. It's biblical. It's super cool, ancient stuff. So we keep talking about it. Doesn't need to be new to be amazing. Truth. And repeating this kind of a message is a good thing. Number two, it's not new to everybody in the room, so don't forget that. Number three, I never repeat a sermon. And what I mean by that is you're actually not hearing a sermon that you've heard before, at least not from me. A sermon is different than a teaching in that a sermon is meant for a place and a time and a people who are here now. And so every time we talk about this, we're trusting that the Holy Spirit has something specific and fresh, even if some of the information you have heard before. And so even if you've seen this graph or heard some of these things, we trust that the Spirit wants to talk to us this morning. Number four, similarly, the Word of God is living and active. Every time we return even to a familiar passage or story, the Spirit can stir something. You guys, would you just like pause in your body for a second and be like, wait, am I ready to like see if something stirs in me today? Just think maybe that could happen because it really can. And posture yourself to be expectant. And then number five, and this is the part where I can kind of geek out. I'll try not to, but like what we call the study of the Holy Spirit, the fancy word is pneumatology. You don't need to remember that, but I can kind of geek out about pneumatology, and here's why. It's how we explore the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and talking about that is so worth our time again and again, because we're talking about the ways that the Spirit of God, the person of God, is alive and active and participating in our midst. Like, that should never grow old, and if we let our active participation and expectation of the Spirit in our midst, if we let that go, I think we're close to that passive grieving of the Holy Spirit that we talked about last week. And I never want us to do that, like we talked about. So pneumatology, that fancy word, talking about and studying the Holy Spirit of God, it ignites our expectation that God is with us, because the Holy Spirit is here right now, right? It ignites our expectation of God in our midst. So that's why we're going to say, let's go. Even if you've heard some of this before, it's good. We're going to do this thing. So one way, not the only way, but a big way, that we experience God's presence with us is when the Spirit of God acts through us, through one or a couple of us, towards one another in a way that is clearly God leading us as a community, right? If we can experience God through someone else. God is stirring something. God is empowering something. God is speaking, leading, guiding, shaping us as a group through the people of God who are leaning in to what the Spirit is guiding them in, right? So the way that the New Testament often talks about this happening, God working through us, is in this language that we call spiritual gifts. The Greek word can also be translated as graces. That it's a grace upon someone for a purpose, for something. A grace from God upon one of us for the edification, fancy word, building up, encouragement, instruction, etc., the improvement. Think of like the edification of the church, for the church to be like this, growing up into her full self, right? So that's what these graces are for. So if we look at this chart again for a second, I want us to take a couple high-level observations. Each one is written from a book of what is a book of our Bible, but it was originally a letter for an early church. This was Paul writing instructions to people who now had a new way of engaging with the Spirit of God. Remember, we had specific encounters when this happened in the Old Testament. Now the fire flames have come upon everyone. The Spirit has gone on every believer. This is a new experience for the early church. And so now Paul is teaching Jesus followers with instructions on how to understand what this new reality meant, what to expect and how to engage with this new reality. He's writing this to say like, hey, this is new, guys. Here's what to expect. Here's how this will be experienced in your community. And here's how you're supposed to know this is God. So follow when these gifts are happening, right? I'm going to read a couple of passages. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so he's instructing us to know this could look different. Things may be in being graced in different ways to guide you, but this is God guiding you. So pay attention when this is happening. Whichever grace the Spirit of God is operating through, it's God at work. To the letter to the Romans, he says this, for just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. So back to the list, if we look at this again, he goes on to say, whichever one of these you have in that same letter, he says, engage diligently and joyfully. I love those words. Engage with this diligently and joyfully. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, which is the church, trusting the different members or participants, each one of us, right, to engage in ways God has graced them or gifted them. And then we find a whole functioning body. A whole functioning church. We don't all need to be feet. We don't all need to be ears. We need all of it, right? One of the reasons I get geeked out about pneumatology is this. This is very important to me. If we believe that Christ is the head of the capital C church, which we do, because that is in scripture, we believe that. If we believe Christ is the head of the church and we as a local church actually want Christ to be leading us, which we do, then we have to trust that the triune God will guide us through the people who are here now in this season. Whatever mix in this time of people, this is how Christ is going to lead our church. It's through us, you guys. It's through the followers of Jesus participating with the gifts of the Spirit. In any given season, that's how Christ will lead his church. That's why we remain expectant for the Spirit to be active and moving through various graces given to the people right here and now in this season of our lives together. That's how the body of Christ works. So back from observations of this list, my crazy lists, here's what I want you to see. I did it like this just so you could see a couple of things. First of all, they don't match, right? None of them are matching. They all have variants. This is important. Now, I color-coded them so you could see where there is some crossover. So anything the same color is the same word, but not all on the same list has the same colors. So here's what you need to see. These are not a stagnant list of graces. This is not a finite list. There is no finite list. So the range of gifts God gives is infinite. He gives whatever gifts the Spirit needs in whatever moment to do what the Spirit wants to do, right? The second thing I want you to observe in this list is there's not a ranking. They'd be in the same order if there was some kind of ranking. And we can read in these texts, there's no rankings. Some are not elevated as more important. So some are more visible, some are more public, some are more behind the scenes. This is true, but there's not like a, and here are the important ones that you want to get to kind of thing, okay? I'm going to read a bit from 1 Corinthians 12 in the same area as Paul is teaching on this concept so that we don't start to think that's the cool gift and that's the one, I don't know. Like we just can't have that, right? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable, and the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one is honored, every part rejoices with it. So, still looking at our lists, maybe you've been thinking, looking at this, like, I wonder which one might describe me. And that's great. That's super. Look at the lists, think that. Great. But I have to do a word of clarification here. Many of us know about personality profiling. Personality profiling tools that are out there. And a lot of us have some language around that and we're familiar with that. So for example, right now, if I stand here and you and I have maybe never even met, and I inform you that I'm a Myers-Briggs ENFJ and an Enneagram 2, you now think, oh yeah, I get her. That kind of makes sense. I know a lot about her now. And that's okay. Like those things are cool, but they're informative and they're great. And this is not one of those lists. That's the important part. Those are great. Learn about yourself. This is not one of those lists. I say that because we can go online and find spiritual gift assessment tools. You can do that. They make them out there. But the problem with going that route is that we're prone to put a label on ourselves. Like our gift is a stamp, just like my Enneagram 2, and I'm a spiritual gift blank, right? And we don't want to do that. That's the part I don't want us to do. I think that limits our expectation and imagination about the freedom for the Spirit to show up in whatever grace the moment calls for. Okay, so I encourage you not to know your spiritual gift stamp, if that makes sense. So it is true, I will say this, some of us tend to operate as we mature in our faith in certain giftings. Especially that list in Ephesians seems to be specifically to point to the plurality needed in the leadership of a church in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, okay? So Ephesians 4:12 says, we need all of this to equip the people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. So here's what I mean. You might operate often in one of these areas, right? Think about an evangelist. If you are hardwired, the Spirit often stirs you towards evangelism. You are like, Melissa, we've been sitting here long enough. Let's get outside these doors already. That's your wiring. You are going outwards all the time. So I'm saying, let's say you go that way. You're wired that way. That's great. That is a spiritual gift that you often operate in. But don't label yourself and leave it at that. By the way, while we're talking about evangelism, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So we also can't do that in reverse and say, well, I'm just not an evangelist. I leave that to the evangelists, right? So we can't, no labels. I'm trying to say no labels. Okay. Scott McKnight says it this way. We don't need to sort the list out and say, which one do I have? Instead, we ought to ask, how can I contribute to my local body? The answer to that question is your gift, service, working, power, or manifestation. It's what the Spirit is doing through you for the good of your local body of Christ. So our goal isn't look at the list and know your gift. Don't label it and leave it at that. How exciting and how encouraging would it be if we were operating collectively with an expectation that we would encounter God through the Holy Spirit's grace upon us while we're hanging out together? I think that's so exciting in specific and creative ways that any given moment calls for. I love that idea. No limits, no labels. So I'm going to give you two real life examples from our own congregation's history. And I'm doing this because sometimes we want to have like an exhortation, and I just felt like, you know what, today I'm going to lean into story to make the point about no labels and no limits, okay? There was a woman, young woman here years ago. I encountered God through her hospitality. I believe that was one of her giftings. I also experienced her leaning with a very prophetic voice into conversations around justice and outreach and things like that. Those were gifts I typically saw in her. One day, she told me a story. She encountered a neighbor in the hallway, and the neighbor was clearly upset, and English was not the neighbor's primary language. And she offered, "Could I pray for you?" And partway through the prayer, she started praying in the neighbor's native tongue, which our congregant friend had not known, did not know before. She was able to pray, and the woman wept. The woman was ministered to by God. That was just that one time that that gift happened. She could not do that all the time. That's what I mean about being expectant, that a gift could come upon a moment for the good of that other person. She was, the praise didn't go to our congregant. The praise went to God. How seen and known would you feel if somebody could pray over you in trust of the Holy Spirit? That would be ministered to by God. Here's another one. There was a woman here years ago, amazing leader. People just followed her lead so trustingly. She was wise and very discerning. She also had a bent towards the prophetic. She would often see images that would speak to a situation that she didn't know about and really minister to me. She was praying over me. She'd just say that an image that she saw, and I just felt seen and known by God. She was a wonderful, wonderful leader. And there was a time when she needed to hand off her ministry rather completely. Like, she wasn't going to be there to help the next person because she was going to be away for a long time. And she did not operate with the gifts of help of administration at all. And so she was overwhelmed. How am I going to get all of this that's up here in my head to this other person in a way that this will be seamless for the congregation? And she prayed about it, and she said, I think it was like a weekend, where she was like, I hit some gear that I don't own. It was a grace of God, and at the end, I had this file folder, or it was a binder or something wild, that she would not have owned a binder otherwise. And she just had the whole thing. She could just came out, and it made sense, and it was organized, and it was clear, and at the end, I was like, this was a grace of God. I don't operate this way. And so those are other examples. Like, what if God wanted to show up for the benefit of the whole body through you? Usually when I talk about spiritual gifts, we look at the list and we say, let's just explain some of these really quick. And so something ignites in you. And this morning I was like, no, I've left the list up long enough. You've seen them. We can talk about it. Anyone wants to talk about this further? I've got books and I've got coffee if you prefer a conversation. I'm all in for it. But here's what I thought this week that I wanted to do. I just wanted to ask the Lord, is there anything specifically for this week, for this moment, that you would encourage us with from this list? And I had two things come to my heart and my mind that I want to share with you today. Number one, I would like you to think about a special grace from the Spirit of God around encouragement and kindness. These two in particular came to me this week as really important. I want to press into these two gifts in particular, because I feel like there's something really sweet and accessible that we can experience the goodness of God through one another, through encouragement and kindness. Here's what I mean. You don't need to have a lot of experience engaging with the spiritual gifts. Like, I've never been a teacher. I've never been an evangelist. I don't know how to pray in tongues. I've never, you know, totally fine. Listen, here's the thing. You don't have to have a lot of experience with spiritual gifts to ask God, how can I encourage someone today? How can I show your kindness to someone this week? And I don't mean like, that color looks nice on you, because it does. That's nice, but that's a compliment. That's not what I mean by an encouragement or a kindness. An encouragement from the Lord, a kindness from God's own heart towards someone. I'm gonna talk about this, because I want you to consider actually practicing what we're talking about this week. Just give it a try, okay? Here's what it looks like. For encouragement, think, how do I see the character of God in you? I should tell you about that. How did I experience God's love through you when we were hanging out? I should tell you about that. What goodness of God do I see blooming in your life? Maybe it's just a nugget, but you need to know that nugget is there. I should say that to you, that I see this. That's what I mean by an encouragement in the Lord. For kindness, here's what I think. I want you to think, I know the character of Jesus enough. What kindness would he want to do to help you, to support you, to love you well in your current circumstance? And how can I be the conduit of that kindness of Christ for you? I think these two stuck out to me this week as graces that we can pray for. I mean, the people in our real lives, you can actually just pray for the grace to see an encouragement in the Lord or a kindness of Jesus towards the people around you. I believe God is so excited to answer you and encourage you to go and be that encouragement or kindness. And the thing that happens then, this is the difference when somebody says to you, for example, like, hey, you did a lovely job throwing that party. That's nice, right? But what if you said, like, I just felt so loved at your party. Like, all the details that you had set made me just feel like we could just be together. And I felt seen and known by God while I was with you. That was a really sweet time for me. Do you hear the difference? Like, we can be that for each other. And that helps the other person feel encouraged and seen by God in the way that God is still growing and transforming them in their lives. Okay? So I just hand that to you and say, like, hey, wanna try? Let's practice. So that's number one. Number two, the second thing that really struck me this week is, you guys, only prophecy makes every one of these lists. Not as the pinnacle, but as the expectation that prophecy will be among the gifts of the Spirit, among the ways that the Holy Spirit will engage with us. An expectation that the Spirit would speak through Christ followers is a very high expectation. I find that powerful, and I find it really challenging, if I'm honest with you. I feel like there's a whole bunch of stuff that can get us wary about, like, you know, declaring what the voice of the Lord said. I understand that. And I'm not saying go out and say, like, God told me that you should move to Kansas City. Ah! Like, no, that's not how we hand a prophetic word to someone anyway, by the way. So it looks more like this. If somebody, maybe like if you're praying for somebody and you see something or you sense something, you offer that back to them. And I would encourage you to offer it. See, like, I just want you to know I sensed this and I hand it to you like this and you can discern that. Or like, think about it. Hold on to it. See if it was from you or if I'm wrong. But I really feel that God has a specially tender heart for you right now. Like, just hand it to the person and they can do what they want with it. But anyway, here's what I want to say about this. It's fascinating to me that prophecy is such a high expectation of how God will continue to speak through the church, through the people of God today. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. That's interesting to me. And I don't think that's a ranking like this is most important. I just mean it's so darn expectant in the early church. I would love for us to grow in our expectancy that it still is so normalized. Eagerly desire. Do we eagerly desire? Or have we become passive to the way the Holy Spirit wants to work with us? Have we stopped expecting the Spirit to actually speak to us, to guide and shape us? What this means is that in our prayers, which is just our conversation with God, we need to leave time to listen. If we don't guard moments of listening where we've shut out all the other noise, especially in our noisy, busy city, in our noisy, busy lives, and in our noisy, interruptive smartphones and all of that, if we don't guard space against that, it's going to be really hard for us to hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, deep, calling out to deep, that needs some margin, guys, needs a little buffer of quiet and listening to even grow an expectancy of that. And so those are the two that I want to give you specifically from this list today to just think about and to think if there's something that you might engage with God in conversation with this week to see if God can't move something in us to know that the Spirit of God is with us now and is with you as you go into your week. All week long if you're a follower of Jesus. And that's really good news. So I usually transition us to our time of response with my own prayer, but today I'm going to personalize a prayer that the Apostle Peter wrote to the early church. He was one of the 12 followers of Jesus. He was with Jesus the whole time. He was there in those initial tongues of fire. He was watching this happen in the early church. First-hand voice of someone who was like, guys, this is the new way that God is with us. So I'm going to pray this prayer based on 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11. So if you pray with me or bow your heads as I pray, Holy Spirit, empower us so that each of us will use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If any one of us speaks, let us do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If any one of us serves, let us do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.